Welcome to the Naracast Tech Briefing. We have a heavy AI lineup today, focusing on the gap between what models score on paper and what they actually do in the wild.
Right. Starting with Z.AI, they just dropped GLM 5.3, and it is making waves not just for its coding benchmarks, but for some highly unexpected cybersecurity capabilities.
It is a fascinating case study in post-training optimization. And on the flip side, we will look at Anthropic's Claude Opus 5. Developers are finding that higher benchmark scores do not always translate to a better coding experience.
The friction there is getting pretty loud across the developer community, so we will look at what is actually breaking down in the user experience.
Let's start with GLM 5.3. Z.AI announced this update on August 14th, and structurally, the most striking detail is how they got to these new capability levels. They didn't train a new base model at all.
Exactly. This is the exact same roughly 744 billion parameter base model they were already using for GLM 5.2. Every single performance gain you see in 5.3 comes entirely from post-training optimization. And the numbers they are reporting are stark. If you look at Terminal Bench 3.0, which tests how well an agent can navigate a command line environment and solve system-level tasks, GLM 5.2 scored a 4.6. GLM 5.3 jumps all the way to 28.3.
That is a massive leap for a model that hasn't seen any new pre-training data. It proves you don't necessarily need to spend tens of millions of dollars on base model compute to unlock advanced agentic behavior. You can squeeze an incredible amount of reasoning out of the weights you already have just by refining how the model thinks and acts after the fact.
But that big leap in capability came with a serious side effect, which is the other half of the story.
Right. In their safety testing, the model hit an 84.5% on the CyberGym benchmark for vulnerability discovery. It got so good at finding exploits and, crucially, chaining them together autonomously that Z.AI actually had to hit the brakes on the release.
They are holding back the open weights for about 2 weeks to do safety evaluation and hardening. If you want to use GLM 5.3 right now, you have to go through their API, their coding plan, or Z-code.
Which makes total sense. If you hand out open weights for a model that can autonomously chain vulnerabilities, you can't exactly take that back once it's out there on a torrent network. You have to be absolutely sure about the guardrails before you let people run it locally.
It is the classic dual-use dilemma in AI. The exact same reasoning capabilities that make a model and a remarkable debugging tool, the ability to look at a sprawling code base, hold the architecture in its context, and spot a tiny logic flaw, are the same capabilities that make it a potent offensive weapon.
Finding a bug so you can patch it is mechanically identical to finding a bug so you can exploit it. The model doesn't know the difference. It just sees the logic puzzle.
Do we know what this two-week hardening process actually looks like? Are they just aggressively training it to refuse requests that look like cyber attacks?
That is usually the playbook. You generate thousands of prompts asking it to write exploits or scan for vulnerabilities, and you fine-tune it to decline. The risk, though, is the alignment tax.
Right. You make it safer, but you also make it less helpful.
Exactly. If you train it to refuse anything that looks like a security vulnerability, it might start refusing legitimate debugging requests from developers who are just trying to secure their own code. Striking that balance in 2 weeks is a tall order.
And in the meantime, the fact that it is available via API means enterprise users and researchers can start kicking the tires.
True, but API access means Z.AI can monitor the inputs and outputs. If someone tries to use it for an automated attack campaign, they can just revoke the key. You lose that control completely with open weights.
It really highlights how fast the open weight ecosystem is moving. We are reaching a point where frontier-level cyber capabilities aren't just locked up in the top three proprietary labs anymore. They are on the verge of being downloadable.
Which forces a broader conversation about how we handle security. If the offensive tools are democratized, the defensive tools have to keep pace.
Speaking of models behaving unexpectedly, let's look at Claude Opus 5. Anthropic released it back on July 24th, positioning it as the default on Claude Max and their strongest model for Claude Pro users.
On paper, Opus 5 is a powerhouse.
It meets or beats previous models on major evaluations. On FrontierBench V0.1 and CursorBench 3.2, it puts up fantastic scores, and it does it at a fraction of the cost of the older Opus models.
But if you look at the developer community right now, Hacker News, Reddit, GitHub discussions, the sentiment is overwhelmingly negative. People are openly asking why it feels like a downgrade from Opus 4.8.
The complaints are remarkably consistent across the board. Users say Opus 5 is overly verbose, it relies heavily on jargon, and it has this elliptical, almost evasive communication style that just gets in the way of getting work done.
They are calling them Claudeisms. You ask it to fix a simple regex, and instead of just giving you the corrected code snippet, it gives you four paragraphs of unsolicited explanation about the philosophy of pattern matching.
And it is not just the tone. Developers are reporting that the model requires constant prompt babysitting. It makes logical errors, and then when you point out the error, it seems to have amnesia about making it in the first place.
That amnesia part is what is really driving people crazy. It is one thing for a model to hallucinate a variable name. It is another thing for it to apologize, give you the exact same broken code again, and forget the correction you just gave it two messages ago.
It highlights a really interesting disconnect between benchmark performance and day-to-day user experience. A model can ace a static test like CursorBench by eventually producing the correct code snippet in an automated test environment.
Right.
The benchmark just checks if the code compiles and passes the tests. It doesn't care if the model was annoying to talk to.
Exactly. But for a human developer, if that correct snippet is buried under a mountain of text, or if you had to argue with the model for 10 minutes to get it, the practical experience is terrible.
I wonder how much of this is Opus 5 fundamentally regressing in its instruction following versus developers trying to use prompt patterns that were optimized for the older generation.
That is always a factor when a new frontier model drops. You have to learn how to steer it. But the sheer volume of complaints about it drifting off script suggests Anthropic might have over-indexed on something in the post-training phase.
Maybe they tried to make it too helpful? Like, they trained it to anticipate follow-up questions, so it just dumps all the context on you at once?
That is a strong possibility. It is also worth noting how this contrasts with Anthropic's recent push into agentic workflows. We talked last week about their new agentic SDKs for Java and Ruby.
Right, they're pushing hard for these complex, multi-step autonomous workflows.
But if the underlying model requires constant human babysitting to stay on track, that undermines the whole agentic push. An agent needs to be reliable without you holding its hand.
We will see if Anthropic quietly tweaks the system prompt or rolls out a point update to address the verbosity. For now, a lot of developers are just wishing they could easily roll their default back to 4.8.
Alibaba just dropped QN 3.8 to 27B on Hugging Face. It is an open weights model, but the architecture is what is turning heads. It uses linear attention on 48 of its 64 layers.
That hybrid setup is how they managed to pack in a native 262K context window and vision language support while keeping the parameter count at 27 billion. It is designed to fit on consumer hardware.
It even includes a built-in multi-token prediction draft head and has flexible thinking control enabled by default. It is a strong push to bridge the gap between large cloud models and what developers can actually run locally.
Seeing linear attention deployed at this scale in a production model is a major step forward for efficiency.
Finally, an older satirical project called Every Fucking Website from 2020 is making the rounds again on Hacker News, mocking the absolute worst of modern web design.
It is a brutal compilation. It mimics the intrusive newsletter pop-ups, the cookie consent walls, the undismissible app banners, and the auto-playing videos that we deal with every day.
It is part of that long-standing internet subgenre pushing back against software bloat, a good reminder of how hostile the web has become compared to basic HTML.
Sometimes you just need a joke to point out that we have completely normalized a terrible user experience.
And that is the briefing for today.
We will be back tomorrow with more updates from across the tech landscape.
Catch you then.